You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we're focusing on Andrew, one of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you follow the church year, working our way from Advent all the way through the season of Pentecost, that can be a very good way to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ throughout the year. November 30th, 2014 is the first Sunday in the brand new church year, and on November 30th, that is the special day we think about Andrew. As you listen today, you'll find out why he is at the beginning of the church year, but know this so. We're not focusing on Andrew to pray to him or to worship him. We're simply holding him up as a good, godly example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, so us, better knowing that example, we might also live like Andrew unto God's glory. We are saved only through the finished work of Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. God bless your listening. As we come to our sermon today, I don't really have exactly a sermon, but we're going to take a look at all three scripture readings, thinking a little bit about Andrew, thinking about the man of God that he was, and about the example that he can be to us today. So if you look in the fine print on the front page of our service folder, you'll see the title of the sermon, A Faithful Man of God. So we're thinking about Andrew the Apostle, in that manner today. First of all, we go to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 3, picking up in verse 16. And what I'm saying here is that called servants of God, it is so important for them to warn those who are wicked, those who are living in sin. Notice what it says. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. Let's pause here for a moment. Notice what it says. So Ezekiel is being called a watchman. So that was a person who would be up on the wall, and he is watching for the enemy to come, and his job was to warn the people outside the gate if he saw any approaching enemy. So the watchman had a very important job, and that was to watch. Notice what it goes on to say there. He calls him a watchman, and then he says, hear the word I speak. So when you are a watchman in a spiritual way, you first of all need to hear the word of God. And that means to hear it, to take it in, to understand it, to believe it, to apply it, all of that. So he says, hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. So really, when we think about a warning to people living in sin, it's not really coming from me, but it's coming from God through me to others, or even for yourself, from God through you to others. And then going on in the reading, looking at just verse 18, in this section, it's talking about what will happen if Ezekiel does not warn the wicked. The Bible says, when I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you, Ezekiel, do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. So in that situation, here is a wicked person, and Ezekiel does not warn him about his sin, does not warn him about the eternal consequences of that sin without repentance. So because the person is not warned, he does not repent. So he ends up dying in his sin. And now his blood is upon Ezekiel because he did not warn him. A very serious thing. And then going further in verse 19, now we see what happens if Ezekiel does warn the wicked. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. So in this situation, the warning does go out, But the wicked person does not take heed to that warning. He does not repent. So Ezekiel is okay. He did what God called him to do, but the wicked man, he did not take heed to what God said, so he is in trouble forever. What about in the next one, going on to verse 20? Here, again, if you do not warn the wicked. So similar, but different than verse 18. It says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, I will put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. So maybe in that situation, we could think about people who are baptized into Christ, and yet they begin then to go the way of the world, and they are not warned. In other words, it's talking about a righteous man that turns towards sin and turns away from the Almighty God. That kind of a person needs to be warned. We have many such people who are on our membership list here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, who are on our list, who have been baptized into Christ, who have stood up in front of this congregation or another similar congregation and said, I will be faithful even to death. And yet, I don't believe their lives have been threatened, and yet they have willfully chosen to no longer have a part of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is sad, and it's my responsibility to warn them. So in this third situation, we see no warning, and we see no repentance. And then finally, in the last one, we see a good situation. It says in verse 21, but if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live, because he took warning, and you will save yourself. So that's the very best thing. If I would simply do my job, if all called servants would do their job in teaching the truth, in warning the wicked, and only if, by God's grace, the wicked ones would hear that message and repent, then we would all be blessed, now and forever. May God help me to do that. That is the kind of apostle Andrew was. You're going to see more about that in a few minutes as I go forward. And may God grant that anyone that we know, whether those people are on our membership list or not, may God grant them to be able to hear the words of warning and to respond so that all of us one day might be together with God. Going on to our epistle reading, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 10, picking up partway through verse 8. And I want to emphasize in this reading that Andrew was one of many who had beautiful feet. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. Let's go back and look at just a little bit of this reading. First of all, going back to verses 14 and 15, notice the parts I underlined. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? It sounds kind of confusing, doesn't it? But look at it backwards for a moment. So, first of all, is the preaching. So the word is going forth, being proclaimed, and then people have opportunity to hear that word being proclaimed. So anyone could have gathered with us this morning. I'm so glad that each of you have chosen to gather with us. But even being in the building, though, I'm so glad to see every one of you in the building, but it's also essential to come prepared, to come well rested, ideally to come having already read the readings in advance, so you're coming ready so that when the word goes forth, you're able to hear it in the very best way. And then upon hearing, what does God enable? God enables us to believe that it is true, that it is true for me. And then finally, upon the word being preached, heard, and believed, now such people can say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now God has made them his holy children. Now they can call God their Father because Jesus Christ is their Savior. So if we think about someone like Andrew, what did he do? He was called to preach, so he did preach. God enabled the people to hear and believe, and then they were in Christ. Then they were blessed. Then, and as God continued them in Christ, they were blessed forever. So I say in number two here, people need to hear the bad news. And the bad news is that the wages of sin is death. So when I think about wages, I'm thinking about something that I earn. So when the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, that means for all of us, by our sin, we have earned and we deserve death. And that's not simply talking about physical death. That's talking about spiritual death and eternal death. So that is what we have earned. That is what we deserve. That is the bad news. I think most people probably don't know how bad the bad news is. But it's very important, though, for people to know that bad news. And then we come to the good news. People need to hear the good news that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the bad news is eternal death because of what we have done wrong. The good news is eternal life, completely canceling out eternal death, and that is because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ and because of the relationship that God has given us with him. Wow, what good news. God wants us to live each day knowing we deserve the bad side, but he wants us to greatly rejoice each day knowing that as a gift in Jesus Christ, we have this good news. That joy should carry us through every day of our lives. That joy should move us to be more like Andrew in telling others the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And then number four, Andrew was one of many through whom God brought the news of our sin and God's salvation to the world. So how could we be more like an Andrew? How can we follow him as a faithful example? Well, I'm wondering who each of you are praying for. I'm hoping and praying you have one person, and you're thinking, I'm kind of guessing that person does not yet know Jesus as Savior, or maybe did know him and now has fallen away. So think about that person now. Either you have that person already written down, or you're identifying that person even now as I talk. So you have that person in mind. You're going to write that person's name down. If you haven't done so already, you're going to pray for that person, that God would prepare that person to hear both the bad news and the good news. And you're also going to be praying that God would grant you opportunity to be able to share the bad news and that good news. And then by actually seizing that opportunity, then you will be following the example of Andrew, one of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John the Baptizer was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Going back to our reading here for a moment, we see that Andrew was one of the two, so he heard what John the Baptizer said, referring to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And as we think about our new Paschal candle today, right on the front of the candle, we have an image of Jesus being the Lamb of God. And he is the Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sin of the world. So he has already lived in our place. He has already died for our sins. And in baptism, Leo is going to be united to Christ, who is his Savior, the one who took away his sins and our sins. So as we think about Andrew, he is the first one to follow Jesus because he heard what John said and immediately he followed. So the first one to follow. So his festival day is the very first one in the entire church year. So today we begin the church year during Advent. We're thinking about his coming. That's what Advent means. And then Christmas, we are celebrating the fact that he came. In Epiphany, we're trying to figure out, who is this person? So during Epiphany, we are finding out in many ways that indeed he is God in the flesh. Once that has been established during Epiphany, then we're ready to go on to the season of Lent. We're now God in the flesh. Now he makes his journey to the cross to be the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. And then we're wondering, oh, he died. And now we're thinking it's over and now we're hopeless. But yet on Easter Sunday, he rises from the dead, showing himself to be the very Son of God, showing his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And that's about the first half of the church year. We call that the festival season from Advent through Easter. And then we come to the non-festival time of the year, and that would be what we call the Sundays after Pentecost, or what it used to be called after Trinity. So during that approximately 6 months of the year, we are focusing on the fact that God is our Savior, and now he's calling us to live for him in our daily Christian lives. So as we begin the church year today, that is the direction that we are headed. Number two, Andrew was faithful to the very end of his life. So we saw how his relationship with Christ began. He was already looking for him. When the man was identified, immediately he followed. And then he had opportunity to live for Christ in a very bold manner. I want to go to Fox's Christian Martyrs of the World and read the account of Andrew. So Andrew was Peter's brother. It says, "Bernard and Saint Cyprian mention the confession and martyrdom of this blessed apostle. Partly from them and partly from other reliable writers, we gather the following material. When Andrew, through his diligent preaching, had brought many to faith in Christ, Aegeus, the governor, asked permission of the Roman Senate to force all Christians to sacrifice to and honor the Roman idols. Andrew thought he should resist Aegeus and went to him, telling him that a judge of men should first know and worship his judge in heaven. While worshiping the true God, Andrew said he should banish all false gods and blind idols from his mind. Furious at Andrew, Aegeus demanded to know if he was the man who had recently overthrown the temple of the gods and persuaded men to become Christians, which was at that time a superstitious sect that had recently been declared illegal by the Romans. Andrew replied that the rulers of Rome didn't understand the truth. The Son of God, who came into the world for man's sake, taught that the Roman gods were devils, enemies of mankind, teaching men to offend God and causing him to turn away from them. By serving the devil, men fall into all kinds of wickedness, Andrew said, and after they die, nothing but their evil deeds are remembered. The proconsul ordered Andrew not to preach these things anymore, or he would face a speedy crucifixion. Whereupon Andrew replied, "I would not have preached the honor and glory of the cross if I feared the death of the cross." He was condemned to be crucified for teaching a new sect and taking away the religion of the Roman gods. Andrew, going toward the place of execution and seeing the cross waiting for him, never changed his expression, nor did he fail in his speech. His body fainted not, nor did his reason fail him, as often happens to men about to die. He said, "O cross, most welcome and longed for, with a willing mind, joyfully and desirously I come to you, being the scholar of him which did hang on you, because I have always been your lover and yearned to embrace you." So we can see from the account, even when threatened with persecution, he spoke up with great boldness, and he went to the cross, and he did not go to the cross fearing it or dreading it, but he gladly embraced it because he knew that his Savior had died on a cross and he was willing to do the same. Number three, how is God calling each of us to follow the example of Andrew? Well, if you look at the summary I wrote for this gospel reading, you can see I wrote that Andrew heard, followed, and told. So it's pretty simple. How can we follow Andrew's example? By hearing the Word of God, by hearing it faithfully here, by opening it at home and faithfully hearing it, and then to follow, first of all, our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, knowing we are sinners, knowing we desperately need Him, so to follow Him as Savior, and then we desire to live the Word of God, and then upon living the Word of God, we are desiring to share that news with others as we see people living contrary to the Word of God, to warn them about that so they might repent and believe and be saved, and also to live according to the Word of God so we might be like an Andrew in setting a good, solid Christian example for others. Is that the way to heaven? By no means. Jesus is our Savior, but these are ways to greatly honor the Lord with our lives. May God help us to do so unto His glory and also unto the benefit of others. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. There are many ways to easily connect with us. Visit our website, BenefitFromTheBible.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Search for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook. Search for Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Parma. Join us for divine service or Bible class. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. We invite your prayers for this Bible ministry. Pray that God will enable many people to know His word of truth, be set free from their sins, and live for Jesus Christ. For past programs, go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.